contained within the one, the 00, I show a 001, a 002, and a 003.
One is the main objective, is the theater itself. And I think that's where most all the confusion lies. It dropped considerably from 11, 12 to 13 for $150,000 basically assessed.
You gentlemen ready?
Yes, sir.
What I have in front of me, at least for our records, is BOE number 2013112. And James, you said the primary is -001. Is that what we have up?
Yes.
Okay.
And the other, I don't even know where it's at, right?
And if you would identify yourself for the record.
Yes. Yes, Mr. Hausman. Thank you. My name's Brett Roubal, R-O-U-B-A-L. I here represent the owner, Morris Branson Theater, LLC, who is, it's wholly owned by Jim D. Morris, a longtime businessman here in town in Branson. And I'm here with Hayden Harrison, who's a local appraiser who I enlisted in anticipation of this hearing.
We are ready to begin when you are, sir.
If I may, you mind if I...
You do whatever you'd like to do.
All right. If we look at the aerial of this thing, and I'm going to step aside here in just a second.
Do we have a pointer over there for him?
We got a laser.
Oh, man.
I don't know how...
Oh, okay, there you go.
A little top right button. Yep.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay.
Man, this is cool. Okay. If I can get it to work. Okay. We appealed all three parcels. So the one you see highlighted in blue, this one here, which is the old restaurant.
Yes.
And this here, I think there used to be a little strip center on it. It was bought and converted to parking. And so these are collectively valued at fair market value at $4 million. And that's the Dick Clark Theater complex. Mr. Morris, through a separate company, Morris Hospitality, owns this piece. That's the Ramada Theater next door. That has nothing to do with what we're here today, but just to sort of let you know the area we're at and what else is here. All I'm talking about here is this about approximately 3 acres. And they're assessed separately because they were at one time three separate parcels. Now they're part of a single complex. I'm here for two reasons. Well, I'm here because it's our opinion, respectfully, that it's overvalued. And I was here last year and I had the even year problem. And so some of this you may remember, but just as a refresher, I'm really here for, and I'm here to tell you this for two reasons. I'll let Mr. Harrison talk about just a general valuation, but I think critically, and to me, sort of the beginning and end of this discussion, is that everything that you see right there, those three parcels that consists of the restaurant theater complex plus that parking lot, was purchased on the open market by Mr. Morris in November of 11 for $2.5 million. I got it right here. If any of you would like to see it, it's right here in front of me. It was marketed by the national brokerage firm of Cassidy Turley starting in March of 11 and ended up with Mr. Morris buying it on the open market from Bank of America at that time, who had foreclosed on it, but put it nationally on the market for $2.5 million. At the time, it had an operating tenant in the Legends performance group, who is still there today. On January 1st of this year, there was a tenant operating in the basement on a very favorable sort of percentage of income basis. And the restaurant operator, David Good, had terminated his lease in August of 12, and so January 1st of 13, there was nobody in the restaurant. And so, first and foremost, I'm not, we had a arm's length third-party contract, open market purchase for $2.5 million for the whole thing, including all the FF&E. So I think that's critical information. And I'm going to let Mr. Hayden Harrison talk about just maybe just a general overview or evaluation sort of theory of proposal on that outside of that purchase price.
Thank you. I'm Hayden Harrison. I'm a commercial appraiser. Live in Springfield. Have worked in the Branson market since 1986. So, as just suffice to say, I've been around a while. I've seen it grow. I was asked by Mr. Robal's firm to represent Mr. Morris in the valuation of this particular property. I actually broke it into two sections because we have a restaurant which is non-functioning at this point in time, at the time that I was asked to appraise it, and we have an operating theater operation. And the easiest way for evaluators such as myself, an appraiser, to look at multiple-use properties like this is sometimes to break them down into their component parts. So the first thing I did was look at, and I've known the Branson market for quite some time, first thing I did was go to the Department of Revenue for the state and look up what theater revenue has been for the Taney County market over the last 5 years. And just to give you an idea, since 2007, it dropped 2007-2008, 3.34%, minus 2.21%, 0.98% in 2009, in 2010, negative 2.76, and again in 2012, 3.87%. So we can see that there is a decline in revenues generated by theater properties in Branson. Now, that's not to say that all the theaters are losing money at this point in time. They're still generating money. If they were losing money, they'd all be out of business. They'd be closed. Right now, we have six theaters that are closed in Branson and are vacant, available either for sale or for lease. And those properties which have all the FFE installed with them, ready to open up, are listed at, and what I did was break it down to a price per seat basis, because that's in which a theater is actually generating its revenue. You sell a seat, you get an income. And so I didn't break it down to a price per square foot, but I broke it down to a price per seat. For those theaters that are even available for sale today, they're listed between $2,000 and $2,500 per seat. And they range from small 450-seat theaters all the way up to the Grand Palace, which has 4,000 seats. The vast majority of them are in that 1,600 to 1,800 seats per theater. Now there's some smaller ones in there, and those will skew the prices a little bit. But even then, we only have a $500 per seat difference with them. So in looking at this theater, I looked at it. What are other theaters available at this point in time? I had sales of other theaters which ranged from $6,000 a seat all the way down to $1,500 a seat, which had sold from 2005 up to 2010. But those don't represent the current economic conditions in Branson at this point in time, and no one is obviously going to pay $6,000 or $7,000 a seat for a theater when you have theater seats available for $2,500 or less. And so what I did was look at, if this thing were available on market today, what would it sell for? And so I just split the difference. I did something very simple, said $2,250 a seat times the 970 seats of the theaters, and that equated into a value of $2.182 million for the Dick Clark Theater.
$2.185 million,
Jim. And here I've got this.
I got it.
You can take it. You can take it if you need it. I've got multiple copies for anybody that wants to see my work. But That's representative of what the values of theaters are listed for today, knowing that if you have a theater that's not for sale, obviously it's not listed at any price, but generally most theaters are available at whatever price someone is willing to pay for them at this point in time. So that's what I did in the valuation of the theater property itself. The second part of my process that I went through was valuating the restaurant. The restaurant contains, let me get it here, 9,736 square feet of building area. And restaurants in Branson are normally valued on a price per square foot of building area. So I looked at what restaurants have sold for in the past, in the recent past in Branson. Most restaurants have sold between $60 and $120 a square foot. There have been some sales, like if you look at Lone Star down in Thousand Hills, it sold for $140-some a square foot, but it sold in 2006 at that price, not in 2013 at that price. So we've got some older sales which are representative of much higher prices of restaurants than what we have today, but those restaurant sales that we've typically used and I've used in appraisals in the past, we have to ratchet them back down to what the current values are for restaurant properties. There are now 12 restaurant properties ranging between 3,000 and 6,500 square feet, freestanding buildings that are available for sale in Branson between $50 and $90 a square foot. The problem is, when you get into selling a restaurant building in Branson, once you exceed that, we have a threshold of about 7,000 or 7,500 square feet. Once you exceed that threshold of square footage building area, it gets very difficult for a person to sell or buy a restaurant building, or more importantly, it becomes more difficult to find a tenant for a restaurant building of that size because of the financial commitment that that restaurateur has to take in order to make a profit. And given the cyclical nature of the Branson market, we don't operate on a 12-month basis. We operate basically on a 7-month basis in Branson. And so leases are all built on a 12-month basis. So you either make a whole lot of money in 7 months and you can pay your rent throughout the winter months, or you figure out some other way to operate that business more efficiently. In other words, at a lower rental rate. So what we looked at was prices of restaurant buildings that had sold and that were for sale, and we assumed that this 9,700 square feet building, if it were able to be rented at this point in time and or sold, you know, separate from the theater, even though it's attached to the theater, would probably be marketed in the area of around $60 a square foot. That is a good fair market value for that particular structure. And at $60 a square foot, that amounts to $584,000. And my valuation included not only the restaurant building itself, because there's not enough parking on that particular parcel for that, but the adjacent parcel to the east, which is closest to the corner of Fall Creek Road and 76, would be included into that because they would not gain an operational occupancy permit from the city unless they had the parking in place. And that's the most logical place for the parking to be located for the restaurant building. So it's $584,000 for the restaurant and associated parking, and $2.128 million for the theater complex, for a total of almost $2.77 million for that particular property, which is more than what Mr. Morris purchased the property for, but I think that's a fair market value for this particular asset at this time. That may change. Hopefully it changed, knock on wood. It'll change in the near future as the economy changes and the Branson market comes back, But right now, we're just seeing a large number of theater properties that are on the market, and we're seeing a large number of restaurant properties that are on the market right now. The Morris Group has been unable to attract a tenant for the restaurant at this point in time, and they have been trying for, I believe, 8 months to attract a tenant. And the best time to attract a tenant is before the summer gets here, so we can take advantage of any tenant can take advantage of the summer tourism business that we have in Branson. But at this point in time, we really haven't seen that. So I feel the fair market value for the Branson Theater Complex or the Dick Clark Theater Complex is a little over $2.767 million.
What value do you give to the museum?
That's part of the theater complex.
How is that part of the theater complex?
It's because
you did a per seat basis, but then that's a whole separate.
Well, that tenant is gone from the museum at this point in time.
There's still a value there,
though, is there not? There's still a lower value in there, and that was all included in the theater complex property itself. I didn't break that out because it was on the same parcel. But it's a basement. It's a basement. They
16,000.
You can handle that.
There's no marginal increase in value because of that basis. Or on that basis, I can tell you in actual reality, if you allocate 50% of the operating costs of that theater to the basement, and we're on a gross lease in the basement, we're probably losing money.
But one of the very first statements you made, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, was you valued the property around $4 million?
No.
The
county has the okay. Complex valued at $4 million collectively for the three parcels.
Okay.
The thing that I was going to bring up is definitely the value of what the basement area would be to the building. I toured the complex at one time when it was in full swing last year, directly after the tornado that knocked it out for 4 or 5 months. There was an actual nightclub in the basement of the restaurant and a restaurant on top, and one of the most huge concession areas that I've seen in any theater, bar none, in Taney County. As you go in that theater, you've got a huge complex of selling novelties and concession and all that stuff that don't go with other. So my theory behind evaluation is, why are we pushing this seat value toward the low end when we have all these amenities that's not even accounted for in your appraisal?
The amenities and the things that you saw are tenant-borne amenities. Those have nothing to do with additional revenue being produced by the building lease itself. Those are amenities that are brought in by the operator of the property.
They still produce huge amounts. They produce more revenue than the actual theater seat sales sometimes.
I don't disagree with that entirely, but the fact is they lease the theater for the use that they want to put it to. It has nothing to do. There's no revenue production incentive or no percentage rent, if you will, attributed to the lease of the theater because of what they want to sell within that particular theater. It's not leased out to multiple tenants, in other words. It's a gross lease on the entire theater building. And the lease is set, and the valuation is supported by the lease payment that is being made.
Did you have any way of calculating how many people come to see the old cars close to that concession area that never buys a theater ticket in that complex?
No, I did not, because that's a concession of the tenant, not of the property owner.
It's a huge draw.
I've been in there.
Yeah.
And I've gone in there to see that. But it's from a valuation standpoint, it doesn't affect the value of the real estate any. The fact that they are able to put a concession in inside the structure that they're leasing that generates the business that they're operating within.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Of a general standard theater, not with a museum that attracts from across the United States. It might be a bigger attractant than the theater, and we're not allowing any evaluation to come to this property because of that.
Now, I'm not saying that. I'm saying they pay a specific rent.
I understand.
For the building.
I understand about that.
And that's what I'm basing my analysis on, is what the rent is for that particular building. How they put the building to use is, it may generate the operator a lot more money. Make it efficient for him to continue leasing this particular structure. But the structure itself can be put to any type of use. In, let's say, you rented the building and you had that structure in there, but I rent that building and I just put a theater in it. The building is going to rent for the same amount. You may make more money as a tenant in that building than I would, and I'm making less money in it. But the building itself is renting for the same price.
Why couldn't you rent out? I guess you could rent out the downstairs club thing. You could rent the theater out, and you could rent the restaurant out.
No,
you cannot. You can't rent it separately.
Did they not rent the theater out separate from the restaurant?
The restaurant and the basement have to be rented out together because of liquor license. It's connected. It's an open stairway down to the basement. You can't separate the two. I cannot separate those out. And if you guys have been down there recently or driven by, you might see some activity. We've marketed the heck out of that thing, haven't gotten anything, basically because it's too big and Brandt's is just a problem right now. Jim, to appease Legends, for the most part, to try to keep them as a tenant, and we don't know whether that's, I have no idea, is making a substantial capital investment and taking on a big risk and opening it up himself. So if you think there's another tenant going there generating money, there's not. And I can also tell you that the basement, Mr. Strahan, is not some cash cow. It's on a percentage rent basis in that basement.
And it's, I'm talking about the car show. I'm not talking about
the basement is the car show.
But I just know lots of people goes there for the car show that never has seen the theater. They go there for the car show only.
It's less than $120,000 in revenue over the past 12 months.
That's a lot of revenue for something that's not added to the base cost of the building.
Do you know what our operating costs are in that building? They're $275,000 a year.
Doesn't have nothing to do with the $120,000. The $120,000 should be on top because you're not counting it as an expense to the building. You're not counting it as per seat cost to the building. It should be a 100% plus to the revenue of that building because you say it's worth nothing to the building. It's a tenant rental. I believe that in valuing the building.
No, I would respectfully disagree. In a nutshell, if we've got a share, it's two floors, okay? 50% each. So if the theater is paying for half of the operating expenses of the building, okay, in its lease, then I've got 50% of the operating expenses allocated toward the basement. Does that make sense?
No.
Common utilities?
No.
Common maintenance?
Is it the same amount of bathroom, same amount of light, same amount of...
They all come to the concession area to do all of that. And you have said to this board that you have no consideration of value to that draw. So if there's no consideration of value, how can it be an expense?
Well, if you want to consider value, then let's consider actual.
Right.
If we're getting $60,000 in rent in a year, that's gross rent, and then you need to slap off the expenses.
What's the restaurant?
The restaurant?
Yeah. Now, I understand the rent. It's separate because Jerry had a sign hanging there.
That's right.
Rent the restaurant, call Jerry Carroll.
That's
right. He
didn't
say rent the theater.
That's right. The theater was not for rent. Legends has that rented.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay.
There's three tenants. Restaurant, theater, basement, / car museum. I'm telling you that the economics of the basement provide no net incremental income to Jim D. Morris.
Okay.
Because all of the expenses for the theater is one building. So you've got to allocate some operating expense to the building, taxes, insurance, maintenance, utilities to the basement. It's on 1 meter. And so if you do 50% allocation of the expenses for that one to the basement, it's a loser. What we're trying to do is create some synergy for the entire thing. And I've got no guarantee that whoever's going to be there on January 1st of next year. And so how do we ignore the sale? That's my question. How do we ignore the actual sale?
By looking
less than a year ago.
By looking at the other sales that Hayden brought in. That's how you come up with an appraisal when you question how the sale occurred and was it bought from a bank. I have to avoid bank sales, and this board is becoming aware of that through this hearing process. Bank sales, ask Hayden Harrison what they consider bank sales to be. There's lots of research has to go into a bank sale before it can even be used as a comparable. And that's where we're at.
Well, if there, all I can say is there's no way that basement is $1.3 million of value. I mean, it's just not even close.
It's hard to get around the point of what an individual pays for a piece of property. But most of us try to make the best deal we can when we purchase a piece of property.
You bet.
And some of us sometimes are smart enough to buy pieces of property for less money than they may actually be worth. That given, it would be hard for me to get to the 2.7, although I like the unique way that you've appraised that and looked at the seating. And we might have to give some thought to that. But you started to say something, and
well,
I heard one of you.
I was going to ask. Let's see, we've got two BOE numbers here, 112 and 113.
Well, actually, he's dealing with three parcels.
Well, that's
right,
what
here they are.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
And they're outlined up here. He pointed properly to the property. See the one that's highlighted? Then there's two below, those two. So the value is in all three, correct, sir? Mr. Rubel?
Yes,
okay.
I'm considering them together. Just because
I was just making sure we had all three parcels.
We will have one more.
Yeah, we're going to have add a BOE number, but we don't, because we didn't have it. We had one application.
Okay.
We had three.
All right.
I apologize.
Well,
but if you look,
I'm agreeing with you that I don't know if I can get to that. What was it?
2.7665.
Figure that I'm thinking is more around 3.4.
Well, Mr. Jackson and Mr. Hausman, you guys both make great points.
Right.
About everybody tries to acquire a piece of property at the best price that they can. The process of appraising is not one to look at what the value of something is when appraising the value of another property. What we have to do is look at the raw transactions.
I understand, and you, and I agree with you 100%. I was answering his question about how do you get around the purchase price.
I understand.
That was the only reason I brought that up.
Just wanted to clarify for the board that as an appraiser, all we do is look at raw transactions. And we not only look at raw transactions which have occurred, but Mr. Strahan was exactly correct. It's incredibly hard to look at foreclosure transactions as a comparable sale to use in the appraisal process. It's one of the hardest things that I can do as an appraiser, because I have to not only look at what were the intentions of the seller at that point in time, but what are the intentions of the buyer. But the long and short of it is, when we're stuck in a market where the vast majority of the transactions are indeed foreclosure transactions, that in itself creates the market. The market is created by those particular sales that we don't want it to be created by. And we have to, as an appraiser, I have to look at those and say, At what point in time do I diverge from the older sales that have occurred, which were obviously free market transaction sales between buyer and seller without having a foreclosing entity in place, and start and begin integrating those sales which have occurred under distressed conditions? When 90% of the sales that are occurring in Branson at this point in time on commercial real estate are distressed in some form and fashion. While they might not necessarily be foreclosure transactions, nobody in their right mind is marketing their properties 15 to 50% below pre-2005 prices to sell them today, unless they had to sell them today. Those people that can hold on to their property are holding on to their property. They are not selling them at distressed prices, regardless whether it's a foreclosure or pre-foreclosure sale or anything like that. Those are the sales that we have to work with. And when we have 5 and 6 years of transactions that we're dealing with in a particular local economy, an appraiser must look at those transactions, regardless whether it's going to be good for the sales market. You know, the thing about appraisers is we get mad at by everybody. We get mad at by the bankers, we get mad at by the buyers, we get mad at by the sellers. And so I'm usually somebody is upset at me at all the time.
Kind of like commissioners, I guess.
Very much so. Very much so. You can't please everybody all the time. And that's what appraising is. We have to look at the transactions that are occurring in the local market at the most recent time. Not only do appraisers look at sales, we also have to look at the direction of activity. And that goes forward to looking at what's currently listed out there. Because if I appraise this thing for $5 million and I can go buy an exact duplicate down the strip for $3.2 million, is it really worth $5 million that I appraised it at? Probably not. It's probably lower to $3.2 million because that's the other property that's currently available for sale down the road. Now, with theaters, we don't have that problem as much as we do with motels, which we're going to talk about later. But, you know, we had a dozen hotel builders that built a half a dozen hotels apiece that all look identical in Branson. And they're all built within 2 years.
We can't talk about the hotel. We've already run out of time.
Okay. Well, let's get going.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
I will see.
Another comment, Mr. Rubel?
No, sir.
No. I was kidding.
No, I'm unless anyone has any
gentlemen,
questions.
Comments
I'm finished.
From the board?
Well, I only have one comment, and it's, I don't want these gentlemen mad at me over my comment. I find it quite impressive, the selling that you did on this project to your benefit. As I say this to you, I don't want you to be offended by the fact that you broke it down into two parcels when we had three parcels. You separated the restaurant, but you didn't want to separate the basement area or the museum part. As I sit here, I think about all the ways that you are selling this commission on the value that you brought forward. I myself, in just evaluating, I'm closer to what Jeff's figure is than I am what your figure is at 2.7. I can't eliminate the museum part of it or the parking lot, which was in your argument added to parking for the restaurant. It's a total complex with three parcels. That's all I had to say about it. I'm closer to him than I was with what you said.
Well, we split the difference 3.1 and walk home. I mean, I don't think that's crazy. I think that's accurate, especially given the income that this
complex is producing, or lack thereof.
I move that we lower the amount to 3.4 million.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All three parcels?
It would be
collectively.
All three combined, yeah.
It to be split by the assessor?
Yeah.
And there was a second?
Correct.
Motion's been made and seconded to reduce the valuation of the three properties, ID numbers.
Wrong, I've given them the OE numbers, so if you want to.
You've given the third one?
262 and 263.
Why would we need?
Because I'll have to enter them separately. We'll have to adjust each line separately. So we'll have minutes for each adjustment. Since he's got the three parcels.
We have two BOE numbers over there.
That's
right?
That's another
property. Give me those two numbers again.
The new numbers are 262 and 263.
So we have a motion to establish a value of $3.4 million on BOE numbers 2013-112, 262, and 263. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. You will work with the assessor to break that out per parcel. Total.
Make sure
we're ready to move on.
Okay. The second one is the Quality Inn on Shepherd the Hills Parkway, Expressway, excuse me. And Mr. Strahan, I should apologize to you on the front end. I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this before filing the BOE. I don't like to do that. But the reality of what happened on this one is we did talk about the Dick Clark Theater, talked to Mr. Morris, made a decision on that, and the process of doing that to review the rest of them. You know, we didn't get a notice on this. It ain't an increase. But when I saw it, my eyes kind of jumped out. With all due respect, this one's way out of the ballpark. $4.7 million for this piece of property. If Mr. Morris could get $4.7 million out of this piece of property, he an 80-year-old man would be doing cartwheels down Shepherd the Hills Parkway all the way down. That is absolutely out of the ballpark. Just recently, this property's been losing Mr. Morris hundreds of thousands of dollars. Its occupancy rate, Mr. Harrison will get into this, has been declining steadily, as has its average daily rate. Shepherd of the Hills Expressway property is going down significantly. This is right next to Shoji, and we know that he's getting out of the business. All this has hurt extraordinarily. It is a money loser. I made an effort recently to sell this to a prominent local operator who initially was interested at the price that I told him. He I forwarded financials and looked at it, and I got he turned down $3 million and wouldn't even counter. And you probably all know about the two recent auctions of the Days Inn and the Howard Johnson and Branson, bringing in a collective $1.5 million for about 700 rooms, I believe. In any event, this one is with all due respect, very much overvalued. I'll let Mr. Harrison talk about the valuation that he's put together on the property. I'll turn it over to him.
This Quality Inn has 213 rooms. It's located on Shepherd of the Hills. No doubt you know where it is already. It is located in an area that we call Motel Row on Shepherd of the Hills Expressway. There's a lot of competition. Two other properties are very similar size, located adjacent to this property. This property was built originally in 1990 and expanded again in 1993. So it is in that time frame when we saw the bulk of the hotel development in Branson taking place or beginning to take place. It's in a well-located area of Shepherd of the Hills Expressway. There's no doubt about that. It will probably always be utilized as a motel property. However, it's not been generating enough revenue to even support its own franchise affiliation at this point in time. One of the things that I do is I appraise hotel properties nationwide. I have a company that operates out of Springfield, and I have offices in Chicago and Dallas, and we do valuations of hotel properties nationwide. And as such, I have a huge database of information on hotel operations, both from affiliated or franchise brand operations, as well as independent hotels. I appraised my first hotel not too far up the road from this property back in 1986. So I've been involved in the Branson hotel market for a vast number of years. With regard to this particular property, I looked at the last 3 years, 2010, 2011, and 2012. I looked at not only the occupancy of this particular property, but I also looked at the average daily rate that this property was bringing in, which basically in lay terms is how much can I get the room for? What's the average room price over the 3 years? And then looked at the revenue per available room, which is that which is the revenue generated on an annual basis for the total number of rooms for 365 days a year. Even though we know that Branson doesn't operate in this property, it does operate on a 365 day a year basis. A lot of properties are shut down. Used to be, you know, middle of October through the middle of or the end of March, and then they'd open back up again. But real quickly, just to give you a rundown of historical operations of this particular property, in 2010, its occupancy was 42.95% operating on an annual basis. In 2011, it dropped to 41.1%, and in 2012, it dropped further to 35.3%, indicating about a 5.8% annual drop in occupancy. And this drop is indicative of what the entire Branson market. This is not a drop that is indicative just only to this particular property. This is happening citywide within Branson. Also, in 2010, the average daily rate, it was generating an average of $51.72 a room per night. In 2011, it dropped to $47.49, and in 2012, it dropped to $47.48, indicating a negative drop of 2.75% on an annual basis over the past 3 years alone. And these are the times that we thought Branson was starting to recover, or we were hoping Branson was starting to recover. RevPAR, same thing. 2208 in 2010, 1952 in 2011, down to 1687 in 2012, indicating an average annual drop of 7.87% in revenue for this particular property, which is indicative of the Branson market as a whole. It's not an anomaly within the market, but this is mirroring exactly what Branson is doing at this point in time. So what I've done is I looked at what the income would be on this particular property from a real estate basis. In order to do that, I had to bifurcate two key pieces of information from the revenue stream or from the profit and loss statements provided on this particular hotel. First and foremost is the franchise affiliation, because it cost in 2012, it took 18.1% of the revenue generated, top line revenue generated by this hotel just to pay the Quality Inn franchise affiliation. And my assumption was that there was enough revenue coming in order to cover the cost of that particular revenue. If it costs more to affiliate as a franchise, the logical assumption is drop the franchise. I'm saving 18% of my expense right there. But what they're doing is barely breaking even on their franchise affiliation at this time. So I take off 18.1% of the top line revenue, which is guaranteed for franchise affiliation, which gets expensed out, and so it sums zeros out on net operating income, other bottom line income after expense. The second is to bifurcate out the furniture, fixtures, and equipment from the real estate, because unless you guys have figured out a way, and I haven't done it, and I've considered myself a hotel expert, unless you figure out a way to levitate people above the ground when they want to sleep in the hotel, you're still going to have beds and furniture and everything else. But it's still not a part of the real estate. Just as much as the laundry equipment is not a part of the real estate, just as much as all the breakfast equipment is not, the tables and chairs, everything in a hotel that's personal property, all the movable stuff, you know, we're not valuating that for BOE purposes. We're valuating simply the real estate component. And that amounts to a value in use for the furniture, fixtures, and equipment for properties and brands, and averages about $8,000 a unit. And that's just not $8,000 in furniture in each room. That includes all the other tables and chairs and everything, the computer equipment, the laundry equipment, the racks, the shelves, everything that they have to buy to put in and maintain operations of the hotel. Because when people buy a hotel, they're not buying the real estate only. When a bank makes a loan on a hotel, it's not making a loan on the real estate. It's making a loan on the franchise, if it's franchised. It's also making a loan on all of the furniture, fixtures, and equipment that are contained within that, which support the operations of the hotel. In other words, the hotel is being purchased as a going concern, as a going business.
Sir, can I interrupt you real quick?
Yes.
Have you given us a value yet of what you think it's worth?
No, I have not.
Can you do that, please?
I will. The value of the hotel itself, the real estate alone, is $2,560,000.
Is that a deduction of $1,704,000 for going concern in per room?
That's the FF&E at $8,000 a unit.
Which is
1.7. 1.704.
Well, I want to deliver a message, and I want you guys to hear it. There has never, ever in the history of my 16 years been FF&E turned in at a motel for any $1.7 million. There has never in the history that I know in my 16 years that FF&E have been turned in over $250,000, and that's two brand new units. So to take the deduction without paying it on the personal property side, FF&E, is not correct. So if you take $250,000 off of this and add $1.6 million to what you're saying, we're not very far off on the value of the real estate.
And I understand what you're saying, but also the $250,000 deduction for personal property have been all the 60-unit motels, not a 213-unit motel.
Oh, yes. Check my personal property records.
Well, I've got a ton of them myself, and I'm telling you that at $8,000 a unit, I fully agree. A lot of 60-unit motels in Branson, which there are a slew of them, have sold with $250,000 to $400,000 of personal property included in the purchase price of them. And so I definitely agree. You probably do have a lot of numbers at $250,000, but $250,000 is not indicative to a motel as a unit business. It's indicative of the number of units contained within that motel.
My recommendation to this board is to lower the real estate to that value, but in turn raise the FF&E to $1.7 million and let me depreciate it as I do all the other properties, and we'll have the value of that property.
Mr. Strahan, you're absolutely right.
If
you sold that, if you sold that FF&E, you'd be lucky to get $150,000.
Sure.
You'd be lucky to get $50,000. You're absolutely right. But I'll also tell you this: if you have a check for $3 million, or if any of your friends do, I will give you the deed and a bill of sale to that hotel right now.
That's not what I'm trying to stress here. And we get this FF&E deducting value from real estate values in Taney County at much more than we ever obtained from the FF&E. But we have the appraisers arguing the value of a deduction. And you answered my question. You did answer it honestly. Yes, you took that deduction of $1.7 million for FF&E to come up with that value. I'm saying at my personal property shelf and my real estate shelf, it should balance. Whatever you guys want to take for a deduction, fine with me. But it better balance, because you're saying in a certified appraiser that what the FF&E it is, and the owner of the motel is not turning that into personal property. And with his signature. Or whoever's signature, manager's signature.
Yeah, and I don't know what they.
And I've not seen that nationwide. You talk about nationwide. I have not ever seen the FF&E, and that's okay. I just want you to make the board aware of what's happening with those deductions.
Hey James, if you look at the two properties next to it.
Yeah.
Are those? How do they differ from that one?
Don't look like they differ hardly any. Maybe an extra few units in that one
how
center
one. Different value.
I don't know.
Would you make a recommendation at all to have it lean towards the values of the two next to it? Or?
Sure. Divide the number of units and put the same amount of units on.
Wait a second.
Per unit price.
With all due respect, we're here talking about one parcel. And so if two are undervalued or overvalued, has nothing to do. The question this board has to determine.
Hold on, because you're wanting to use comparables on everything else. And I was actually trying to make a benefit for you, but...
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, no.
I apologize.
I mean, don't...
Brandon, go ahead.
No, I'm...
I know what you're saying. I don't know what they're valued at.
Well, I do. I looked.
Okay.
You did it on your research and you would have looked. I'm trying to help you out here, but...
I apologize.
I just don't know. Like I say, if you're going to...
I know they're lower.
Yeah, like 500,000
lower. You can buy about $1 million.
Well, if we could get, how many rooms are in that thing?
213.
213.
But they're about the same size of structures as the two that James had.
Gordon Elliott just bought the Prince Charles Inn for $10,000 a key. If we get $15,000 a key, that'd be what, 3.3?
Well, 16 will be 3.1, I think. Is that right? You're talking 213 rooms?
Yes, sir.
2.7. Times 16,000 would be 3,195.
That's 15.
That's at 16. 18 is 3.8.
213 times 15, right?
Is it
3195?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's
stick structure.
Yes.
Okay.
It's
16. 15. We've been, bring this up because this is the way we've had to use a formula to evaluate this stuff in the years past as for stick structures, structures that were going to be demolished, masonry block, versus all these things. And we went from 10 to 30 in the values. We had researched it out, and there was some that laid at 10, some at 30. And the motels that were on the lower end were the 10s. And so we made a decision earlier on a motel and used 18,000.
Which was not in as good a spot and a lot more run down.
Right. But, I mean, that's where I was going at. That's what I wrote down here and what I've thought about was using somewhere in the range of 16 to 18.
How do you deny the fact that you've got sales that have been selling from 10 to 13 a unit? over the last 2 years.
Right. Well, I've,
how do we disregard those and throw those out? Because those are stick structures too, built in the same 93, 94 time frame that are sitting there now. They're operational. How do we disregard the 10 to 13,000 unit structures in favor of an 18,000 unit structure? When those are actual transactions, not cost buildups.
I think where you get into a lot of problems with the appeal process in the motel hotel business, we hear from three or four a year that banks have called. And then the Hotel Motel Association that owns buildings, they don't want to come in and reveal what they had to get an appraisal done for to take on the value of a motel versus the value of a tax appeal. They're two different things, totally two different things.
Oh, I agree with you.
But we don't have that happening. We have so many banks that owns the motel at $4 million, and they just go looking for a manager to keep it on the next year and write the one-year note and hoping that he does good and hoping that he gets the desire to buy. We have many of those. We had one guy that owned six one time, and I don't think he owned one today that managed them.
Sure, and I totally agree.
But I don't know what that has to do with the value of the other fully operational motel.
It doesn't. It has nothing to do, because fully operational motel values are not what we're valuing here for tax purposes. That's where we get into the disjunct with motel valuations. Convenience stores, nursing homes, they're all the same animal. They're not worth anything if they're closed down. They're worth sticks and bricks values, what they're worth. They're only worth something if they're operating. And so all you have is operational information and sales of operational hotels, and the hopes that the appraiser can appeal to the board or whomever to say, this is how it's broken out. Because we're looking at real estate. We're not looking at the value of the going concern. We're not looking at the business value of it.
What's so horribly frustrating about this, just to forget the dollars and sort of this kind of stuff, is if you take $16,000 key, that's $3.4 million. This hotel has been for sale. Unlike the Dick Clark Theater, where we don't sort of have this activity, I would hope and pray and do flips of joy if I could get a check for $3.4 million. That's the honest truth. Any of you can buy it for that, and you'd be paying more than we would accept. So I'll finish with that. I appreciate your consideration.
Whoop.
Uh-oh.
Not getting any better. I thought you had it under control.
What he's showing me was a breakdown of from $15 to $20, how it broke down, so that you know what's on the note passed back forth here, because
gentlemen, more questions from the board? No comments? Decision, hold it back, motion?
Well, I can tell you where I'm in. And it said, let's see, 15,000 a room times 213 is 3.19.
It's just a breakdown of the different units.
Yeah. 3.195.
You making that motion?
I'll make that motion.
I'm going to second, but I want to reconsider the other one that we put on, because I'm the one that made the motion, and I'll go through that process as soon as we get finished here. This structure here is in far better condition than the other one.
Are you seconding the motion?
I'm seconding the motion.
I just want to make it clear so we can have discussion. Motion has been made and seconded to establish the value of this property based upon a per unit basis of $15,000, which would be $3,195,000, let's discuss it. Yes, the one that was not in nearly as good a condition was established at 18 today, correct? What I was doing, just that I was showing Donna's, passing notes to my friends around here, I'd broken it down from 22 all the way down to 15. And obviously each time at 1,000, that's 213,000 either more or less, but so let's speak to the motion. What are your thoughts about the 15? What are your thoughts about how that is in relationship to other properties? And that's what you started to speak to.
Right. If you got 15 or 16, is that what you had there?
15.
15 is 3,195. 16 is 3,408. 17's more. 18.
Right, I understand. But I mean, I was just looking at the.
You can't consider what you did on that other one because you already did it, and you'll have to go back and undo it.
I know
redo
how to.
It.
I know how to work the other ones.
Deal this one here. And that would put them in line with the neighboring two motels, right?
I'm just asking.
Well, sometimes people talk too much.
Duly noted.
It's a good question, James.
It is.
But I don't have the information in front of me.
I think one of them was 301,000 assessed, yeah. Divided by 32 would be right at the. Yeah.
Maybe I'm not.
Well, the property that's
you drive down
directly next door is the Magnolia Inn. Is that right, guys?
I believe so.
Physical structure.
Any idea how many rooms are there?
This no. What's the total assessed appraised? Is all we
I
need
don't
to
know.
On Magnolia, it is $3,305,506.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be less than that. Then the other is
James. I think Magnolia's got about 225.
Probably.
Is
that the last green place there?
Well, it's also got to be part of the hotel.
It is. Yeah, it's in the parking lot in the front.
Randy, did you drink my pop while I was
down?
Oh,
well. Pop. Christy, can you go back to that?
That's why you don't look like me.
That's right, James.
For you.
That's sugar.
That's sugar.
This one? Hey, buddy. I do them. No sugar.
Yeah,
that's fine. Well, thanks.
Here, Ron, she's pulling it up real quick.
Southern Oaks is the one next door. I was mistaken. And it's $3,216,510 appraised. James.
Water.
There you go.
Nice break out, man.
Yeah.
Southern Oaks is 3.2. It's next door.
Yeah, they're just right similar. I mean,
Yeah. All right.
Oh. Back over. You were on it. Now go up.
I could have poisoned yours. I don't want to take it.
There's a little bitty building right across the corner that to your right.
I don't want to do that. But I second there. The motion, but I can withdraw my second.
Okay, just, what do you guys want to do?
Just so you know that.
Yeah, but there may be more rooms, Ron.
That building right there is a.
No, that's a retail. That's like an ice cream store or something like that.
Right beside it. Or
yeah,
added same, to it.
In the corner of the property.
Yeah.
In the parking lot.
It is. I've been there. I know where all them ice creams go.
I called it up. You've got it on for $3.5 million.
The ice cream store? No wonder they cost $4 a day.
Okay, I might have been guessing.
Oh. Let's go and do a vote.
All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed? No. No. Motion passes. I would ask then for consideration of the hotels that lay next door, the hotel we looked at this morning, the other hotels in the county.
The only issue you have with that is managing ability. And Mr. Harrison has always argued, I've always argued to him and against him on, and all appraisers, is when we get into income producing properties, we're measuring and managing ability, and we're not supposed to be doing that. If you got a good manager, one the same motel can put out a value of $4.7 million. I'm not saying there's a bad manager there, but I'm saying every motel has managing problems or positives that gets weighed into the evaluation of the property.
Well,
unjustifiably.
No, you are valuing going concerns.
Like you bet. And
we said it at 60.
It's hard
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
You bet. Hotels are one of the worst ones to do.
Yeah.
I should have clarified that.
You ready?
Well, are you guys done? Or
yes, sir.
Done? You get them out of here before they think of something else.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I'd like the reconsideration
I
real quick.
Sorry.
Yeah, get them on out of here before
you think
of something else.
All right.
Tell Jim I said hi.
And Jerry. Well.
You bet, and Jerry.
All right, I'll do both.
Before we go any further, I'm going to make a motion. I was the person.
Can we get a recess real quick? Because we got maintenance on the way to fill the smells over here. That's
just too bad. Oh, we can't do that. That's cruelty to animals. I got a CC here.
Let us stand in recess for a few minutes.
I'm going to kill my...